Daf Chav Vav, we're starting the fourth and final parak, Pesach's Megillah. The Mishnah begins at the bottom of Chav Hey Amr Beis as follows. B'nei Ha'ir, Shemachu Rechova Shalir. The people of the city sell their street of the city, and we'll see there's some Kedusha to the streets. We'll see that in the Gemara. So they sell the street, and the Lochin Midmav, Bedamav, they use the money to buy Beis Knesses, or that's permitted because you're upgrading. Mal Mekodesh Lomaridim. A person could sell them the Beis Knesses Lochin Teva. They could sell Shul in order to buy a Teva, which houses the Sefer Torah. And a Teva, Lochin Mitpachos, you could sell a Teva to buy the Mitpachos, which are the cloths that you keep the Sefer Torah in. And then you could sell them, Mitpachos, you could sell them to buy Yichus Svarim, which Rashi says is Nevim Ksuvim, only not Chomish. And then Svarim can be used, Lochin Torah, as long as you're upgrading to a higher level. Aval, the opposite. Im machro Torah, if you sell Torah, lo yikhu svarim, you cannot buy nach. If you sell svarim, lo yikhu mitpachos. Mitpachos lo yikhu teva. Teva lo yikhu beis knesses. And beis knesses lo yikhu es harachov. So you can downgrade. V'chein b'mostrehen. And so the same holds true with regards to anything extra. Rashi says, v'chein b'mostrehen. Let's say you sell svarim, you sell some nevim and ksuvim, and you buy mimiksas adamim with some of the money, you buy a Torah, the remaining amount, let's say you sell nevim and ksuvim worth $100,000, and you buy a sefer Torah worth $50,000, so the remaining $50,000 cannot be used to buy anything less. It has to be something of equal value, or equal kedusha, to or greater, but you cannot go down, cannot be morid at all.
Okay.
Exactly, right. There are hetam, they brought down Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Perivia, you are allowed to sell a Sefer Torah in order to get married if it's needed. For married and Talmud Torah, I think, are the two exceptions you could sell a Sefer Torah. I believe so. Okay. So the Gemara says now, B'nei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechova Shalir. If the city, the city sells the street, so Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosef Stumasa. That's only the sheet of Rabbi Menachem who thinks there's some level of kedusha to a street. Aval Chachamim Omrim HaRechov Ein Bo Mishum Kedusha. Street's a street. There's no kedusha. You could sell it for anything you want. So what's the reason for Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi Mai Taima? Why does he think there's some kedusha from using a street? So he says Hol VaHa'am Mispalin Bo B'Tainios VaMamados. Sometimes the Am will go down in the street on a Tainis. They go down in the street on Mamados. So Rashi quotes the sources here that you remember the Gemara's in Tainis here that if the you have certain fasts, you're fasting because lack of rain. And you're not answered. So eventually you take the teva, you take the Aron Kodesh, you bring it out to the street and you start davening more. So sometimes you use the street as a makom tefila. And mamados as well, there's a decent sized Rashi which goes on to explain that they'd go to the street sometimes also. And for the mamados, it would lay in Maisa Bereishis during the week. That also would take place in the street. So that's why I think there's kedusha, and you have to be careful what you use the money for if you sell it. Now, Rabbanan argue and say, "Ahu, akray ba'amma." That just happens once in a while. That's not considered kavua, and therefore there is no kedusha. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: "Beis Knesses lochin teva." You could sell a shul to buy a aron. So, Amar Rabbi Yishmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, lo shanu ela beis knesses shel kfarim. This is only true that you have the right to sell a shul that's in a village. They're very, it's easy to know who the Bailim are. You could get everybody together, the whole village together, and they can make a decision. About Beis HaKnesses Shel Krachim, if it's a shul of a big city, so then you're not allowed to sell a shul anytime. Why? Kevan Nime'alma Asule, since people come from all over the world to the shul, Lo Matzi Mizavni Le, Tehavle Derabim. You cannot sell it because it's the Rabbim's. So what's wrong with that? So there's a machlokas Rashi Tosas for the reason why. Look at Rashi around halfway down the narrow line. It says, Aval shel krochim havelu bati knasios derabim vakol baleim. Everybody owns it. Vein b'nei ha'ir levadam bailam lehem. So the b'nei ha'ir might make a decision, but they're not the exclusive owners. People who come to travel all over are the owners as well. Unless you get their consent, you have no right to sell their shuls. That's Rashi because you don't have the full bailam's agreement. Tosas writes on top, though, Kevin de Malma Kasule, he says, near Lefarish, that the Hachi, Kevin Shiro B'nei Adam, Regilum Malecha Sham Lispalo. Many people go to daven there. Afa Pishain and Nosin Klum, even though they don't pay anything for the Binyano, they don't pay their dues. Bikomakum kevin diladas olson rabim nase chamura kedushaso veinin yichalon limochro. Not because of bialis and ownership, it's because if it's a higher level kedusha, that's why you cannot sell a base knesses, while Rashi focuses on the ownership. Now the second day of Tosos writes, V'odiye shlifarish kevin dirabim nosen bivinyano. Since many people pay for the memberships, so then Bishar Tsrachov Ubisamech Nami Dikama Ravashi Dadaita Didi Kasu Hainmi Mashinosin Bolasas Rutona. He gives another shot which sounds like Rashi, where everybody does pay some level of membership or they help pay for the upkeep. So that I think what Tos is trying to get at is therefore everyone is a Baal and you don't have the consent of all the Rabbim Mealma, so therefore you have no right to sell someone else's property. Okay, anyways, everybody agrees that you cannot sell a base Knesset of Krachim. So the Gemara says now, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Hai Bei Knishta de Masamachsa. The shul that's found in this big city, Masamachsa, was considered a krach. So Afagav de Ma'alma Asulei, even though people will come from all over the world to the shul, Kevin da Daite de Dika, so since they're coming for me, says Ravashi, they're not coming for the shul. So then, Ibaina, Mizvanina, like, they all trust whatever I say. He's the Rebbe. So Ravashi, even though he's a massive shul, he makes the decision, and everybody's pretty much mochel to whatever he says, they agree to. So that's one exception. I thought someone said something. Oh. Yeah. What? That's
like a shtibble.
Like a shtibble, okay, right.
Yeah, except the
Rav
Asher didn't pay for
the shtibble
itself.
Could be, okay. And usually shtibbles are not that big.
Shtibbles right. Usually own the Rebbe owns the house.
Right. But those are small. Usually not. A shtibble doesn't become a young Israel usually. But, okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, Meisi ve amar Rav Yehuda Meisi be beis knesset shel torsiyim, which Rashi says torsiyim are the where they got surfei nechoshes, copper makers, and they it's shahayu b'Yushalayim. They had a shul in Yushalayim. Shemachru le Rabbi Eliezer. They sold it to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer was a very wealthy tana, very wealthy. The Gemara Numa talks about how much money, how much meiser he took every single year. The meiser he gave was much more money than we ever had. So he had 10 times that amount. So he bought this shul. He did whatever he wanted. He used the shul as, I don't know, a bathhouse, whatever he used it for. So which itself is another discussion of when you sell a shul, what it can be used after that fact. But either way, he sold the shul, and it was sold to him, rather. This is a shul that was in the Yushalayim, which of course is a krach. So how are you allowed to sell a shul? We said above, you can sell a beit knishta of a krach. So Gemara says, Hahi beit knishta zuta havi. That was a small shul, a little shtibel. The Inu Avduhu, and they made it themselves. It wasn't by the shul, it wasn't by the Alma, it wasn't by other people. They're the ones who built it, and therefore they had the right to go ahead and sell it. Gemara now quotes another Kasha, Meisive. Bebeis Eretach Huzaschem, they're talking about Tzaras, finding a Nega Tzaras on the bias. So if you find a Nega on the bias of a Huzaschem in an area that is owned, that was this Chalka to the Shvatim, so that's going to be Metame, that whole house. So the Gemara is Medayik Achuz Aschem Mitame Bin Negarim. Only if it's in your property owned by the Shvatim is there a din of Tumas Negarim. Ve'en Yushalayim Mitame Bin Negarim. But Yushalayim, as we'll see shortly, is lo nischalk of the Shvatim. It wasn't divided amongst the Shvatim. It was no man's land. So that does not have a din of Negarim. It's a special Gzeres HaKosuv. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ani Lo Shemati Elamakam Mikdash Bilvad. He says, no, I didn't hear that about the entire Yushalayim. I heard that about the Beis HaMikdash only. So the implication is, Ha Bati Knasios Bati Medrashos Mitamin. So the other places, the shuls, and the Bati Medrash in Yushalayim, in a krach, would be Mitame. But why am I? Ha De Krachim Havu. Those are the krachim. So we said before, a shul of a krach is not owned by anyone in particular. It's Lo Nischalku L'Shvatim, if you will. It's not owned by anybody. So how come it's not Achuz Aschem? So how could it be Metame Tumas Negaim? According to Behuda, again, Behuda seems to imply that shuls of Yushalayim can become Tame Tumas Negaim. It must be that it's owned by the people of Yushalayim, even though it's a base Knesset of the Krach.
Are you let them buy a shul? I know you're not sell, but if they sell it, then...
We'll get to the... You're allowed to... We said before, you're allowed to sell a shul. So... We said a person, if you could sell, that means you'll have to buy it as well. So we'll see a dinim of what you could do with that shul afterwards.
But I'm saying,
it's in a case where you're not allowed to sell it, right. So mastama, you shouldn't be able to buy it either. That's stealing then. It's if it's going according to Rashi, where since it's owned by the Rabbim, so if I try to buy it, so I'm stealing someone else's property without asking them. So it'd be a violation of gzela of some sort, but ain karkin gzelas. So it's some isser involved in that. So the Gemara says, "Asamai, why is this? Why could the shuls of Yerushalayim become tumas negoim ha dekrachim havu? It's owned by the world because it's of a krach, and it shouldn't become it's not achuz aschem." So the Gemara tweaks Rabbi Yehuda's statement and says, "Ema, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shemati ela makom mikudash bava, not makom mikdash, makom mikudash, meaning all the holy places in Yerushalayim, the Bati Medrashos and the Bati Knessios, all those are not mitame because since they are a base knesses of the krach, they're me'alma asu, and therefore there's no din of achuz aschem and not subject to the halachas of tumas nigaim." So now the Gemara wants to know, once we're on this topic here, what's the machlokas whether Yerushalayim can be metame or not? According to the Tanakhama, Yerushalayim cannot be metame, and Rabbi Huda thinks it can be metame. Only the Beis Hamikdash or all the other makom mekudashos are not going to be tame, but a regular house in Yerushalayim can become tame, according to Rabbi Huda. But what's the machlokas? Tanakhama savar. It's not owned by anybody. No area of Yerushalayim, and therefore it's lo nischalka l'shvatim. It's not achuz aschem, and therefore no tumas negaim. But Rabbi Yehuda savar nischalka Yerushalayim l'shvatim. He thought that it was divided amongst the shvatim, and therefore it is considered achuz aschem, and can be metame b'negaim. Ubeplux the honey tonight. It's the same exact machlok as we find in this brisa. The Tani, this brisa says, "Ma haya bechelko she Yehuda? What was in the area of Yehuda? Harbayis, halishchos, hazaros, which is clearly part of Yerushalayim. So we see that Yehuda had a certain chelik of Yerushalayim. It was nischalka l'shvatim. And then ma haya bechelko she Binyamin? Binyamin had the other part of Yerushalayim. Well, he had the ulam and the heichal and the beis kachay kadashim v'ritzua ha'isa yotzais." Michelko Shehuda, there's one little strand of Yehuda that kind of pulled out from Binyamin, v'nichneses bechelko she Binyamin, entered into Binyamin's chelik of the Beis HaMikdash, uba mizbech banor, and in Yehuda's domain was the mizbech. Everything else in the Beis HaMikdash was all Binyamin, but that one little strand, Yehuda took away the area of the mizbech. And that's why Hayab Binyamin had tzaddik mitstar aleh bechol yom lebolo. He was so troubled, he wanted to just to swallow up, absorb that mizbeach that Yehuda took from him. Shenemar, it says, chofef alav kol yom. He was hovering over that area all the days. So lefichach, since he so much wanted to take that mizbeach, he was zacha Binyamin v'nasa ushbizchen l'shchina. He was able to be the host of the Shechina, which refers to he also got Kodesh Kadashim, which is where the Aron and the Shechina was residing. So we see from here that was Machlokas. So according to this opinion in the Braisa, that it was Nischalka the Shvatim between Yehuda and Binyamin, they split up Yerushalayim, which means that it was considered an area of Achuz Aschem and subject to the Halachas of Tumas Nigaim. So Tosfos asks a question for those who learn Masechet Zvachim. He says, not true. Yehuda did not have the entire Mizbeach. He only had part of the Mizbeach. Luka Tosas writes, Dimar Maschil, V'ritzua yotze mechelek Yehuda lechelek Binyamin ubahaya Mizbeach banay. Again, the Gemara indicates that Yehuda had the entire area of the Mizbeach. V'kasha. D'haba perak ezu mekoman d'zvachim dafnun gimel amar d'bekeren dromis mizrachis. The southeastern corner. Lohaya Yesod. There was no Yesod on that southeastern corner. Why? Lefi, that this is this corner here. So Lefi, she lohaya yisod. There we go. Lefi she lohaya yisod el bechelko she torif Binyamin. Yisod only existed in the area of Binyamin. Dichse Binyamin zev yitraf. He only had the idea. Unclear what that means exactly about the connection between torif and yisod, but that's what the din is. Only where Binyamin was, there was a yisod. It has to do with Yosef tzaddik and Yosef being yisod tzaddik olam. And then almak she kolam is beach banim bechelko she Binyamin. So Gemara in Zvachim indicates that Binyamin had the Mizbeach, not Yehuda. So V'yesh Lomar, he answers, oh, so Keren Dromis Mizrachis, Shelohaya Bo Yesod. That southeastern corner of the Mizbeach that did not have the Yesod. Now the Yesod was, around the Mizbeach, there's a little platform that kind of stuck out all around, but the southeastern corner did not have that Yesod. So that one area, that was in the Chelek of Yehuda, Alzeh Mitzar Binyamin Levolo. That was the corner, only that area he wanted to absorb and swallow, Kadesh Yehei Kol HaMizbeach, Bechelko, that he should have the entire Mizbeach in his Chelek. Now there's interesting machlokas, Ramam Ravid, I forget who says which way, but they have a machlokas whether Ir Miklat has Valacha as well of tumas of nega bias or not. Says machlokas whether or not one says that Ari Miklat wasn't owned by anyone and therefore it does not have a din of achuz aschem and no tumas maga, and the other one argues no, it was given out to Levim. Levim owned Ari Miklat and therefore it does. So it's a very important machlokas. The status of Ari Miklat. The Yerushalmi says in a few places that when the Levim were given the Ari Miklat and the Ari Migrash was given to them the Torah's Chaluka, that was their Chelek, and there would be Achuz Aschem, and therefore subject to Tumas Negaim, was given to them as a Matana, a gift for them to live. So they shouldn't be homeless, but not a place for them to own. It wasn't their Chaluka, and therefore it's not Achuz Aschem, and wouldn't be subject to Tumas Negaim.
So what did you do if they found the Negaim?
Wouldn't be anything. Nothing. Yes, that's a whole sugya about that. Whole sugya. Fine. The Gemara now says, "V'hai Tana Savar," and this brisa, this Tana holds, "Lo nischalka Yushalayim the Shvatim." The following brisa holds that Yushalayim was not divided to the Shvatim. The Tanya ain maschirin batim b'Yushalayim b'pnei she'inan shalahem. That they would not rent out houses. They couldn't lease houses out to in Yerushalayim. If you own the property, you can't lease it out. They're not yours to lease out. And Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Aflo Mitos, you can't even lease out your beds. So lefikach, so you have to open up your home for all the visitors, the Olei Regalim, and they get free stay. So lefikach, since it's free, Oros Kodshim Bale Ushbizin No Linosam Bizroa. So now when your guests come home with their carbonos and ready to eat it, you're allowed to grab away the hide from their carbon. That's your payment. Even though you really can't take payment, you could take payment of the skins. Now, Tosus explains that that's a stira. Well, if you can't take payment, how are you allowed to take the oros? So look at Tosus writes in the bottom here, Af lo hamitos, perish ha rabbeinu Yosef, de svir le, de cheven sha karka, makom hamitos, lo haya miyucha lebailam, lo haya koach biavnum lehaschiram schiras shalim. The area that the bed was on, that's property, that's land. So the land wasn't owned by the one living there. So you can't rent out that area. But mikol makom, the machmas metatalayim, the movable objects, such as the mita, hayunolin orosa hakajim. So they would take the skin as a payment for the metatalin, that they are allowed to rent out. It's just that the property, they cannot lease out. And the Gemara concludes here the statement saying, Amar Bai, Bai says Shema Amina. We learn from this din here that Orech Ara, it's considered Derech Eret, Lemishvach Ina Shigolfa, Umashcha Bushpiz. It's good to leave something over to your guest, to your host rather. So what does this mean? A gulfa, umashcha. So Rashi's gulfa is a kankan shacharish and nishamish bo, give him a some type of a bottle to use. And umashcha, imshachat beima, if you shecht an animal, I think mashcha is referring to the skin, right? Is that what it says? Not yet. You give the hide for them. So you should leave. So when you go to stay at someone's house as a guest, bring some gift. It's a nice thing to do. Derech Eretz. Okay. Yeah, that's what we answered in Tosas. You can't rent the beds. So they for all the metalton, Tosas says, all the metalton that they're using, so then you're allowed to. So Tosas says, the makom mitos you can, the area that mita is on, that land you can't lease out, but the actual bed, he understands you are allowed to lease out. That's what Tosas teaches us. Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Rava says, lo shanu elo shalom machu shiva tovi ha'ir, b'maimad an sha'ir. What we said here is that when is it true that you cannot be morid damim mikdushasan? It's only true when you're trying to buy, sell something and buy a lesser kedusha object that's usher, only if you didn't sell it with the seven leaders of the city with the consent of the rest of the city. But aval, if you machu shiva tovir, the seven board members b'maimin an sheir in the presence of everybody else, so then afilu lemishta shichra. But if you have the consent of the entire community, so then you could sell the shul or whatever it is you're selling, the Sefer Torah, the Nevi'im, and you could buy even beer if you like. That would be permitted. Okay. Gemara says, Ravina, Havli Hahutila, the Beit Knishta. Ravina had a certain mound that was used for a shul. The shul got destroyed. And Asla Kamid Rashi, he asked Ravashi, Amrle Mahu Lemizre. Could we plant? We plant some garden on top of this mound that there once was a shul. So Amar Lei Zil Zvane Mishivei Tuvair. Go buy it from the seven executive board members, let's say. But Mai Ben Anshayir Vizara, and if they agree to, so you could do whatever you want with that property. So Rami bar Abba have a kabani be knishta. He was building a shul. Have a hahi knishta atika. There was an old shul in the community. So have a bar le mistere v'lasui livne v'kashuri mina. He wanted to destroy the old shul that nobody used anymore and used all the bricks and then the beams. V'ayule lahasim and bring them into the new shul. You can save on some material. So Yosef v'kami barle. And he sat down and started to ponder this idea. Had Rav Chista, the Rav Chista statement. What's Rav Chista's statement? Those learning Daf Yomi only a month ago saw this in the first parak of Babasra. The Amr Rav Chista lo lister beknishta ad debani beknishta acharisa. You're not allowed to destroy one shul until you build the other shul. What's the reason why? Bhasa mishim pshusa, because there's a concern. If you destroy the shul first, and then start building the second shul, and you might just run out of money, so now you have no shuls. So because of Pshusa, we say make sure you have the new shul up before you destroy the old shul. So now, ki agav namai, but in this case, what's the halacha? Here, the shul's not being used as it is, you're using it, the actual material of the old shul, for the new shul. Is that didn't going to apply as well? And the answer was, he says, my. So also the comment there, Papa, he asked her, Papa, what his thoughts were on this. V'asale, he said, this is also to do this. You can't destroy the old shul. You must build a new one first. And then he went to the Kami de Rav Huna of Asale. He's not sure why he was shopping around for heter. He didn't get the heter. Once her Papa gave him a din, I'm not sure why he was able to ask Rav Huna after that fact. I'm just looking around here if anyone asks this question. Okay, no, I don't see anybody asking this, at least in the bottom here. Okay. And Gemara now says, Amar Rav, Ahai Beknisha D'chalufei V'zvunei Shari. If a person takes a shul and he swaps it with another property, or he sells it, that's permitted. And because you're switching the Kedusha of the shul, goes to the money, and that money has the Kedusha, and you have to buy something with that money. But what's Aser to do is, Ogura O Mashkuna Aser, but to rent it out for someone to use it, or to give it as a mashkon, that would be prohibited because it still has a kedusha of the base knesses. So my time, what's the reason? Because we just said because b'kedusha tzakai, it still has the kedusha attached to it, so you can't use it for something else. So livne nami chalufinu vizvunui. So too when it comes to the bricks. If you have bricks, so you could swap it with something else to exchange the transfer the kedusha, and you could also sell it, and the kedusha will transfer to the money. But ozofinu, to lend out the bricks, that would be aser. So the Gemara says, "Hani mile batikasa." It's only true if these are old bricks that had already once been used before, and it had been infused with the kedusha of the base knesses. About bichadisa less lon ba. If it's brand new bricks that have never been used, there's no din of kedusha, and you could lend them out however you please. Vafilu man damar hazmana milsi. Even the opinion who thinks that if you're mazman something, we don't pasuk this way, but there is a man damar. We find the Gemara brachos and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. That has mana milsa. If I designate something for a certain purpose of kedusha, I say that this bag is for the purpose of tefillin. Hazmana is milsa. Is that significant? Will that create a din of tefillin? Or no? Hazmana lav milsa. So we normally assume that hazmana lav milsa by designating something doesn't mean anything unless I actually use it. But the one who thinks hazmana is milsahi, so if you designated these bricks for the purposes of the basic nesses, but you haven't yet used it, so it's aser if you say hazmana milsahi. Hanim mile kigon haoreg beged lemeis. It's only true if you weave a beged for a mace. Now there's a din when it comes to a mace. All things used for a mace is aser b'hana, based on a certain gzer shavas, a sham, it says a few places. So anything that's used for a mace is aser b'hana. So if I designate this clothing for it to be buried with a mace, that designation will be aser if you assume hazmana milsi. But that's only if it's really one step removed. There's only one thing left of putting a baguette on the mace. Aval bit kitavoi la'arig dami. This hacha is kitavoi la'arig dami. If I'm, let's say, just spinning the yarn and making the fabric, but I haven't made it into a clothing yet, that's already two steps removed. Everyone will agree that hazmana doesn't go that far. For this case as well, setting aside bricks is too far removed. You need to put the bricks up, then you need to lay them down, then you need to cement them. So just having bricks and being mazmin them for a base knesses is too far removed and will not have any kedusha and can be used for anything else you'd want. V'lek l'man d'damer. No one thinks that this case would be awesome. Gemara says, what about a matana? Let's say you give a gift. You give the shul as a gift to somebody else. Is that going to be aser or mutter? So pligi ba rav acha v'ravina. They have a machlokas. Chad aser, chad shari. One thinks it's aser, one thinks it's permitted. Man the aser b'ha tafke kedusha b'mai probably b'mai tafke kedusha asa. So if I give it as a gift, the shul, well, where did the money transfer to? There's nothing for the transfer over to, so the kedusha still remains, and that's why it's aser to do that. But man dishari, the one who permits it, why do they permit it? If I give it over to you as a gift, my shul, why is it permitted? It's no longer considered kedusha. Ilav dehavile hana minay lohavi yavle. I would not give a shul over to you unless you had given me some level of hana. So even though the hana may not be something that's substantial, something that has any mamashes to it, still it allows that transfer to take place, to take effect, and the base knesset would no longer have kedusha on this. So hader havalei matana kizvini, and a gift would then be like a sale. So when it comes to the gift, there's a transfer of hana, there's no monetary transfer, but it's very similar to when I do receive money for a shul. Matana is I'm receiving some hana, and that's why I gave you this shul as a gift, so it would be permitted as well, according to this man damar. Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, Tashmishei Mitzvah, very important halacha here. Tashmishei Mitzvah, Nizrakin, Tashmishei Kedusha, Nignazim. If it's Tashmishei, if it's things that are used for a mitzvah, that can get thrown out directly into the garbage, but the halacha is brought down, it's still kavadik to, if you're throwing out the lulav, tzitzis, you should put it in a plastic bag, that's ideal. Some will go so far to even to bury tzitzis, but all that's really needed is to put it in a plastic bag and throw it out that way. But really, mikra, then you could throw it out nizrakin. That's tashmishei mitzvah. But tashmishei kedusha has something to do with kedusha, and kedusha is usually defined, not usually, it is defined as anything that has osios, so shem Hashem in it, that's considered tashmishei kedusha. So we'll see examples in a second, but the klal is things that have osios, like a mezuzah, sefer Torah, tefillin, that's tashmishei kedusha, because the Rav Chaim Mevilashin writes that all kedusha comes from the osios of Hashem, Shem Hashem. That's why in the Aron, in the Kodesh Kedashim, is the Sifrei Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Luchos, because that's where all Kedusha comes from. It emanates from those osios, that's all there. So to any other halacha, when there's osios of Shem Hashem, that's Kedusha. When there are no osios, like Tzitzis and Lulav, then it's not Tashmishei Kedusha, it's only Tashmishei Mitzvah. So the Gemara gives examples now. So Eluhein Tashmishei Mitzvah. What examples of Tashmishei Mitzvah? Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar, Tzitzis. These are all examples of things that don't have any Shemos Hashem in them. Veiluhein Tashmishei Kedusha, Dilus Kami, which is Rashi explains here. It's a bag that you use for to put a sefer in. Dilus Kami Svarim, to place Svarim in them. Tfilin Umezuzos, V'tik Shal Sifrei Torah, V'nartik Shal Tfilin Rutsu Oseim. So anything that you would use to hold a bag to hold tefillin, a bag to hold a nevi'im, a cover of a sefer Torah, all these are tashmishi. They're using, they're protecting things of kedusha that have osios of Shem Hashem in them.
Why do they have osios of Shem Hashem?
What?
What osios of Shem Hashem are in there?
No, they protect things that tefillin, mezuzah, the bag that hold the tefillin. Tefillin have Shem Hashem. Sefer Torah has Shem Hashem.
It's not in there.
No, but once they were used for tashmishei kedusha, they have a din of tashmishei kedusha forever. Yeah.
Many of us have multiple bags on our tefillin. Is it only the bag that directly contacts the tefillin?
Yeah, that bag. The bag that you're using to hold the talis as well would not have a din, I believe. Does not have a din of tashmishei.
Like
yeah.
Don't
yeah. There is a din. As once asking of Shechter a question, and someone else asked, it was actually Rav Yaakov Warblowski, came to Rav Shechter at the time. This goes back a number of years ago. He pointed out a Mishnah Berurah that says that anything that holds a sefer would be considered tashmishei kedusha, if I remember correctly.
A printed sefer?
Yeah, I think so. Again, this is years ago. And I think he was suggesting that, let's say, when you buy a set of svarim, it comes with that white box holding it together, that might require geniza. Right, so those as well, those are not designated for it as much as the box. I don't remember the whole conversation, but I remember it being he was medayik. Yeah, so I remember that being an issue. But, yeah, that's a good question. Would that be considered Tashmishei Kedusha? Right, that was as a chumrah, we said, as a big chumrah. It depends on that sugi we saw earlier in the first parak about whether it had Kedusha to it and whether it's Ruach HaKodesh and Emra. Tell you on that, probably. Yeah, that's whole... Yeah, we were machmir that one should wash your hands anyways, but it was a whole discussion. So that's a good point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not explicit, though. It's not explicit. So, all right, good question. I don't know. Not sure. We'll look into it. Blee nether. Fine. Now, there's another interesting you guys have time for a Tosfos here? Should we? Plenty of time? Yeah? Any other people other than Seth, or no? Then, no, let's get to the end, and we'll come back. If we have time, we'll do Tosfos afterwards. So we'll do it afterwards. It's a very nice Tosfos though. Fine. The Gemara says last three narrow lines. Amar Rava Meresh. Rava says initially, Habamina, I thought, Hai Kursei, what the Kursei Rashi says, is a Bima Shalait. So the Bima we have here, this is very Halach Lamaisa. People violate this Isser a lot. We'll see in just a second. It's initially, I thought that Bima was Tashmish to Tashmishu. It's secondary. It's so far removed from the place of Sefer Torah on it. The Bima has no Kedusha. Vishari, it's permitted to use it. But Kevin, the Chazina, the Mosri, Alava, Sefer Torah, I mean a Tashmish Kedusha, who Vasar. Sometimes they place the Sefer Torah directly on it, and therefore it would be Aser. Now, we don't typically do that. So some shul do it when on Tisha B'Av they take it off entirely. Do they do it here? We don't daven up here on Tisha B'Av.
We don't daven in the main shul on Tisha B'Av.
We don't daven in the main shul. Everything's downstairs.
We daven
in Mincha. Put a towel on the table.
Put a towel on the table. Okay, fine.
Right, we always put a towel on the table anywhere. Really, even on Simchas Torah when we make the ad hoc minyan, we always put a towel.
It's to avoid this issue. Mikey, do you remember in Bnei Ashurim once in Tisha B'Av? I think the Sefer Torah rolled off the bima because they didn't put anything down.
I remember that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. This happened. So you should do it so to give it traction also, and number two is to avoid it from ever having Kedusha on it. Because if a person ever does place a Sefer Torah directly on the Bima, then it's a problem. The Bima itself has a Kedusha to it.
With the rules for Sefer Torah here, they usually take off the...
Yeah, it slides.
They roll Sefer Torah.
Okay, so there's a Kedusha to the Bima, which means a person shouldn't lean. The problem is you shouldn't lean on it. That's really where it comes in. There's Kedusha, which is fine, but just you can't get Hana from this thing that's Kedusha. We'll see the plat. Now we're going to go to the cloth now. The next
thing.
The safer. Right, you shouldn't put it directly on the L'chor, you shouldn't put it on directly on the top of the table, yeah. My Fader, you're getting ready to dab, Marv?
I'm game.
Okay.
He's fine.
Okay.
It could
be a problem. Fine. So, what to think about? Let's go weiter. So, the Gemara says, Amarava. Meresh Havamina, initially I thought Hai Prisa, the cloth that we put on top of it, Tashmish de Tashmishu, it's secondary. But Kevin de Chazina de Aifile, Uman Chay Sifra Alave. Sometimes we see that they place, this is referring to the cover around the Aron Rashi, according to Rashi at least, around the Aron. So that, I'm not sure exactly what this means for us nowadays. But something that they would normally not use, but sometimes they place it on top of the bima. So the ayfile sometimes umanche sefer Torah sifrei alave. So I mean, I said tashmish kedusha uvasr. So the ma'aseh, you have to figure out whenever they put the sefer Torah directly on something, that becomes a tashmish shel kedusha. So that cover on top of the bima is certainly a tashmish shel kedusha, and you shouldn't lean on it. People learn on it. It shouldn't be done. You shouldn't place things on it. L'chora. Okay. Gemara now says Amar Rava Hai Tevusa. The earpot, mi'avde teva zutrase, shari. So let's say a teva, that Rashi explained it got old and ended up breaking. So you could fashion a smaller teva out of that. That's all permitted because it's the same kedusha. Big and small, that has nothing to do with kedusha. The question is the use of it. So that's all permitted. But to make it into krusaye aser, to make it into a bima which has less kedusha, that would be prohibited. Amarava hai part prisa dibala. If the cloth ended up wearing down, this is referring to the covers of the aron. So limavde prisa lisifre shari, to make it a cover for neviim and ksuvim, that's permitted. But luchom shim aser, which is just a chumash alone, say for brachos alone or say for shmos alone, that would be prohibited. Amarava hani zvile dechumshe, zvile dechumshe, Rashi explains, is referring to the cover, the tick that it went in, and the kamitre de sifri, which is also the box that the Nevim would go into, or the Sifrei Torah would go into, those are also considered tashmish kedusha ninu, v'nignazin. If they get broken, you have to, they require geniza, like any other tashmish kedusha, gezuntai. Pshit, the Gemara says, obvious, why would you think otherwise? Shemaldishema, what do you think? Honey lav l'chavod avidan l'ntur ba'amal avidei. Maybe the Aron Kodesh is not made for kavod, it's rather made for protection. Kamashman, they're made for kedusha as well. So the safe we have in there, that's made for l'ntur, that's made for shmir, that's not made for kavod. L'chor, that would not have a din of tashmishe kedusha, according to this Gemara. It wouldn't require geniza. Fine. What?
If there's on it, it's touching,
no, but if the point is, if it's l'nturi ba'alma, it's simply to protect it as a safe, that would be, it's permitted, as opposed to this, which is meant for kavod. So the Gemara now says, Ahu be knisha, certain shul, the Yehudai Ramai, to have a pasach, a Jew from Rome came, to have a pasach, lehu idrunai. What was this? Dini Rashi says here, there was a place out, they had a mace was in the room. And David Machis Bay Mace, there's a mace in the room here. Now they wanted to daven. There's a mace in the shul. So Kanam obviously can't enter into the same building as a mace. So what did he suggest? So Asu Amrile, the Rava, they said to Rava, Amrilu Rava says, Dali Tevusa Osve Davile Kliates Haasulinachas. Take the Aron and move it over to block the door. This way you clog up the mace in that room. The mace, the tumah won't leave. And that's okay because the din is, if it's an eight, if it's a wooden aron that's made to lanachas, to stay, to remain in stationary, that din is, the Gemara, you remember the end of Maseches Chagiga told us, the kli eitz ha'asa lanachas einu makabel tumah, it can't receive tumah, it's not called a kli, only kalim are makabel tumah, this is considered stationary, it's mechubel akarka almost, v'chotetz b'fnei ha'tumah, and also can block any tumah from penetrating. So that's what he suggested, move the aron and clog the doorway. So Amrilei, they said to Rabbanan, said to Rava, "B'vav zimnan demetaltelei kimanach sefer Torah alavei v'havlei metaltelei malei v'reika." But sometimes they would move the aron around, and it really wasn't meant to stay lenachas. Wasn't meant to stay stationary. So he says, "Ihach, if that's the case, lafsher. If it's something that does get moved around, then it doesn't have a din of a kliyat house lenachas, and therefore cannot be chotetz b'fnei atumah. And there was no etzah for the kohanim; they would have to daven outside." Then the Gemara said, Amar Marzucha. Marzucha said, Mitpacho Svarim Shibalu. If the different covers of the Svarim end up wearing out, Osin also Tachrichin Lemeis Mitzvah. You should use them to fashion a clothing, a Tachrichin for the Meis Mitzvah. A Meis Mitzvah that no one else is around, there's no relatives to take care of, use it for a Meis Mitzvah. Bezuhi Gnir Sasan, and that's the best way to bury, get rid of these worn out Mitpachos. Vama Rava Rava says further now, Sefer Torah Shibala, if the Sefer Torah gets worn out, go into Noso, Eitel Tamil Chacham, you should bury it with the Tamil Chacham in his kever. Vafilu Shon Halachas, even if he just learned Halachas, and he and Rashi explained to him, he was never Mashamish a Tamil Chacham, he still deserves to be buried with the Sefer Torah. And Amar Rava Acha Bar Yaakov of Chli Cheretz, and while buried there, it should still be placed in an earthenware utensil to protect it further. Shenemar Unisatem Bechli Cheretz Leman Yamdu Yamin Rabim. This should be remind those learning Daf Yomi. This is the pasuk in Yirmiyah that he was giving advice to keep a shtar in that Chli Cheretz to protect it and to preserve it. Right, Fair, do we have a right to go to the next Amud here in the Tosfos or no? You think not? Let's go for it. We'll go to the top of the next one because tomorrow's Daf is a bit long. Tosa Gemara says, Amra Papi, Mishmei de Rebbe Mibei Knishta, Lebei Rabbanan. You're allowed to change a Bei Knishta to a Bei Rabbanan, to a Bei Medrash. That's permitted to transfer over. And Mibei Rabbanan, Lebei Knishta, Aster. But to change a Bei Medrash into Bei Knesset, that would be prohibited. That's considered a downgrade, according to Rav Papi. The Rav Papa, Mishmei de Rava, Masa Yipcha, he thought the opposite. It's an upgrade to go to a base medrash. It's a downgrade to go to a shul. And Amar Rav Acha, Kavase, the Rav Papi, Mistavri, Rav Papi makes sense that really a shul has a greater kedusha. Why? The Damar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Beis Knesses, Mutil Asosa, base medrash. We have a clear statement in the name of Rav Yishuv ben Levi that you can change a shul to base medrash, Shema Mina. I'm the other way around. I'm saying that base medrash is a greater kedusha than a base knesset. Now let's go through a Tosus in 30 seconds really quickly. You guys ready, Fagans? You ready for this one? Look at Tosus, Dima Maschel Tashmishe Kedusha, the Chule. He says, Mikan Mashma from the Gemara, it seems to imply, Shadalad v'hayud shebekesher aretzua einan osios gemuros. They're not really considered osios, the dalad and the yud. V'lo havehelach l'mosh v'sinai ki imashin shebebatim. The only thing that is the shin that's on their sharosh. Why? Midilo kari hachal ritzuos ela tashmishe kedusha. The Gemara first, the ritzuos has tashmishe kedusha. Now, if the dalad yud were also part of the name, that means they're actual shem hashems. That is a real kedusha, not simply tashmishe kedusha. So therefore, he says they only a din of a tashmishe kedusha, not actual kedusha. He quotes in the bottom here at the end, Rashi argues, and Rashi thinks that no, the Shin and Dalet and Yud are all part of the Shem Hashem. It should be there, and therefore it would have a din simile of a Kedusha itself, not only Tashmishe Kedusha. Okay, we'll stop here.